Can you guys hear me? All right, perfect. So this is my first time actually preaching. I had the honor of being able to do the invitation once before, and Trevor gave me a call this past week and asked me if I would preach this morning, and I was a little hesitant at first, but here I am. So the lesson this morning I'd like to talk about is going to be the gifts. The gifts that we're able to receive through God, through Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. In order to receive these gifts, though, for those that aren't members of the church, you do have to take on Christ in order to be able to receive these gifts that we're going to be talking about today. And I will explain how you can go about receiving these gifts. But we're going to go ahead and start. I do encourage those of you that want to take notes to take notes, because I'm not real computer savvy. I don't have any PowerPoints or anything. It's going to be strictly from the book. So, but first we're going to talk about the gifts that comes directly from God. And then we'll jump into the gifts that we receive through Christ, and then we'll jump into the gifts that we receive from the Holy Ghost. So we're going to start off with the greatest gift of all, and that's going to be in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten, that he gave his only begotten son. So if you'll turn with me over to John, and we'll read that. We'll get things going. It's a little different being up here. But I'm sure I'll be up here a lot more. Okay, so I didn't get everything the way that I wanted. Mark, Luke, John. I'm so nervous, my hands are sweating. Alrighty. So John 3:16. And it reads, I'm going to read it through verse 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And I believe that's one of the greatest gifts, because without Christ being that intercession for us, we don't have the ability to be able to have the relationship, that direct relationship with God. So that's it shows the love that God has for us. I don't know about any of you parents out there, but I can speak for myself. If it took for me to give up Ayana, or if it took for me to give up Hawk or Titus, even though he's not here yet, if I had to give up any one of those three, none of us would be here, because I don't have that godly love. I'm not able to sacrifice my children for the rest of the world's sins. But God loves us that much that he is willing to sacrifice and was willing to sacrifice his son for us. I'd like to turn now to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through verse 10. Now this is the gift of grace. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now when I read this, it's pretty apparent that I'm saved through grace, but it's through my faith in God. And it's nothing that I could do in order to be able to obtain this. outside of having my own faith. Because my works will not get me there. It's the gift of God. And he's got plenty of gifts for us. And it's not an exhaustive study. There's plenty more gifts that he has in here than what I'm able to cover today. And I pray that each and every one of you will decide to pick your Bibles up and study and see the other benefits that God has for us. Now, if you'll turn with me over to Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 29, and we're going to go through 32. Okay. It says, "And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink. And do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." These verses explain that Jesus is speaking at this point. He's explaining to us that the Lord knows that there are things that we need in this life. He designed it. He knows all of our needs. He knows that we need to eat. He knows that we need liquids. He knows that we need clothes to protect us. But he tells us that if we follow him first and foremost, everything that we need will be given to us. And I did this all out of order, but it's okay. All right. Now, I'm going to jump into Psalms 127 for a moment. Now, keep in mind, we're speaking about the gifts that the Lord provides for us, that God provides for us. And me being a parent now, I understand this verse a lot more. So we're going to go Psalms 127, 3 through 5. It says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." God shows us that our ability to be able to reproduce, our ability to be able to continue the legacy, is a gift from him. He designed it that way. He designed man to be with women. And he allowed us in the correct manner to be able to procreate so that his word can be prolonged as well. And I'm trying with my kids. I'm teaching them and instructing them the way that the Lord would have me do so. Now, we're going to go over to 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read verses 10 through 15. And it reads, "The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now in these five verses, he lets us know that we've got many gifts right in there. We have the gift of eternal life. Doesn't fade. Doesn't go away. We know that we're able to ask our Father for the things that we desire as long as it's in accordance to his will. If it is not in accordance to his will, it will not be given to us. The Lord will not withhold any good thing from us, but it has to be good. It also lets us know that he hears us, which means that anytime you need to talk with him, you have that opportunity. But it has to start with you. Now, I meant to start this lesson off with the definition of gift. And I'm going to just read the definition according to dictionary.com. Just to help give a little more clarity and the understanding of what a gift is. It says, the first definition, something given voluntarily without payment in return, as to show favor towards someone, to honor an occasion, or make a gesture of assistance, also known as a present. It is the act of giving. It is something that is bestowed or acquired without any particular effort by the recipient or without its being earned. A special ability or capacity. Natural endowment, also known as a talent. Now, with the definition, it can be tied into all the gifts that are given to us. Because we don't deserve any of the gifts that God has given to us. We haven't earned them. They are God-given. He gives them to us freely. Okay. Now, I'm going to jump into the gifts of Christ. But before I do so, I just want you to understand where Christ gains his authority from. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, it reads, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now this is God giving Christ the authority over everything. God has handed his power over to Jesus at this point. And that's also relayed in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. And in Matthew, this is where we're going to jump now. It was over to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And this is where Jesus is announcing his authority. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus is letting us know that he has the authority. He's been given the authority from God, his Father. And he also informs us of how we are able to receive these gifts. And that is through baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in Ephesians chapter 8 through 20, eight through 10, I feel like we just went through that, but we can go through it again. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, yes. So, the gifts that Jesus has given us is the gift of grace. And that's shown in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, which we have read. "For by grace you were saved, or for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of your own, not of yourself, it is the gift of God." We also are able to receive God's peace through Jesus. And that's told to us in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 28. He tells us, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said." Now at this point, if I am not mistaken, Jesus is talking to the apostles and letting them know that the Holy Spirit is going to be there to help guide them and to give them the powers that they're going to need in order to be able to fulfill the will of the Father. But the Holy Spirit is also available to us all. And that is told to us in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, "Peter said to them, 'Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Now, the Holy Spirit, well, let me correct myself. I'm going too far ahead. Sorry, I'm still nervous. So the gifts that Jesus has given us allows us to be able to do the will of the Father. And we'll learn a little bit more about that when we jump into the gifts that the Holy Spirit commands. But if you guys will take notes, because I'm running out of time here, I'm just going to briefly go through some of the other gifts that we're able to receive through Christ. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, we have the gift of a brand new life. When we take on Christ, we are new creatures. The old us is gone. It's dead. Sin is now dead to us. We now live in the Spirit. We have been raised with Christ in his resurrection through baptism. He also frees us from bondage and sin. And that's told to us in Romans 8, verses 1 through 6, which I will read. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And that's offered to us through Jesus. Jesus also allows us to be able to have strength, which is told to us in Philippians 4:13, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is our strength. Okay, now we're going to talk about some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, which is told to us in Romans 12, verses 2 through 8. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now these are all gifts that we are all able to receive through the Holy Spirit, which would be the gift of prophecy, the gift of serving, the gift of being able to teach, being able to encourage one another, the gift of being able to give, leadership and mercy. We're also informed of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 14, as well as in verse 28. And the gifts that are told to us that are given by the Holy Spirit in these verses are going to be the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, being able to distinguishing of spirits, different tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And tongues are really nothing more than language. So the ability to be able to speak many languages and the ability to be able to understand many languages. And tongues are also used in the way of being able to speak to God directly. Now, we're also given many gifts. Each and every one of us is given a gift when we take on Christ. That may not be apparent right off of the bat, but they are developed through our, I guess the word is maturation, our maturing in Christ. The Holy Spirit will give us the gifts that He feels that we need at those specific times. And we are to cherish those and utilize those gifts in the serving of God. All of the gifts that we've covered today all come from God. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the one that set everything into place for us. But through His Son, we have the ability to be forgiven for the sins that we have committed and that we continue to commit. None of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. But if we are to repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we do have that opportunity to be able to receive all of the many gifts that the Lord has for us. The gift of eternal life, the gift of heaven, being able to enjoy His kingdom, peace. There are many things that I haven't covered that are still gifts from God. Each and every one of us woke up today. That is a gift. He has blessed all of us and continues to bless us. And I know that we are all blessed because we are still here. He still has a plan for each and every one of us. Whether you are part of the church or whether you are outside of the church. And if you are outside of the church, I encourage you to come forward and to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because without Him, nothing can be done. But through Him, all things can be done. So if you're not in the right relationship with Christ, I pray that you, if it's not today, I pray that you come forward and that you accept Him. You accept the gifts that He has for you. You accept His love. You accept His mercy, His grace. The walk isn't easy, but that's why we are all here. We are here to help encourage one another. All of our gifts are meant to build the church up for God's glory alone. Not for mine, not for yours, not for any of us. It is for His glory. Because He is worthy of that. Now, that concludes my lesson. So, if anybody has needs of prayers or encouragement, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.